Good to see you all this morning. Some well-kent faces as well in amongst that group, I'll tell you. Really is a privilege to be here. I've often said this is not a hard place to come. This is a place where there's a welcome, but there's a place where I also sense that there are people who love the Lord, and that's what makes it an easy place for me to come. And to come at Christmas is always good because, people are generally in a better mood, aren't they? You know, a wee bit more chipper, a bit more optimistic. But this year, wee bit strange, you know, this sense of what we're dealing with. Even in the midst of that, though, there are still some things. Those little anchors in the midst of Christmas that we hold on to. We've all got wee favourite bits about it, haven't we? I don't know about you, but mine usually centres around food. I know for some it's putting up the tree. You know, we've got neighbours, they've had their tree up for a month. I was like, goodness me, they're literally taking down their decorations from Halloween and they're putting up their Christmas tree. I was like, this is crazy. And then you've got others who you can clearly see are really on the, they've got their cards all written, they've got the gifts all sorted, I think. We all have our favourite bits about it. Sometimes it's catching up with family, seeing friends, those little traditions that sit in the midst of it. You know, for some, it is the gifts. I know when you're young, it's the getting the gifts, isn't it? A wee bit older, you actually start to appreciate giving gifts. There's something lovely and there's something great to, well, there's nothing better than when you get a gift and you realize that person knows me and they've really thought about me. All these things sit in the midst of what are our favorite parts of this season. You know, I'm talking about favourites, I'm not talking about most important. I think already we've heard, for me and I'm sure for most of you in here, what is the most important part of Christmas? This whole idea that this word Christmas actually sits round about that person. Christ Mass. You know, it all goes back into history, this whole sense of, but in its root form, Christ Mass is Christ at the centre of a service. Christ at the centre of an enjoyable service would be the way that some people have put it. And for you and I, that is what sits at the heart of it. But also when we think of Christmas, I don't know about you, but I also think of some of these hymns and songs and that we've sung here this morning. Christmas is it's a real pivotal point in our lives, and we come back to it all the time, don't we? Doesn't matter what goes on in the year, we come back to that. And we come back to the worship of Christ at Christmas. It's right there. I can think of Christmas services that I've gone to that throughout my life, and they've been quite pivotal because I've come at the end of a year and I'm here again, Lord. You've saw me through this again. You've brought me back again. I'm here in your presence with your people giving you worship. But sometimes we don't really focus on the worship of Christ at Christmas. Let's not kid ourselves on. For some of the reasons I've just mentioned, we get so busy. You know, I see people and they are going for it with their screens of lists, their shopping, the people they've got around, the things they need to do. And I tell you, it robs you. It really comes into your life because, to be frank, sometimes there's just too much going on. Yet this year, I would suggest, is different. As a Christian, for me, COVID has highlighted just how event-driven my worship is. And with no events, well, what does worship look like in my life? Because we've got this structure of church, and we've got this framework that we hang our faith off. We all do it. You know, we come on a Sunday, it's a place where people who are way better at bringing us into God's presence with worship lead us. But what about the whole idea that as a person I'm meant to be an eternal worshiper? I'm meant to be somebody that has worship at the heart of who I am. But for all the failings of the pandemic, for me, one of the benefits, it's been a time to reflect, and none more so than on my faith and how I do faith. and how we do church, and ultimately, this idea of worship. Because we've spent a whole lot more time alone, haven't we? You've probably never spent as much time alone or with your close family throughout any period in your life as you have in the last 2 years. How has your worship looked in that time? Because you've spent less time here. You've spent less time being directed, being encouraged. Have you developed your worship in that time? For me, there's some guys in this Christmas story who were right on this issue of worship. They had it nailed. And it's around them this morning we're going to focus. So let's just jump in to this story. And let's just then unpack these guys' experience of worship, because there's lessons for us all to learn in it. So let me read it to you. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod came to the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On the coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gift of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Great story. Absolutely packed full of worship. Not something you would have probably thought of when you've read it in the past, but as we focus in on this morning, it's clearly there, isn't it? The first thing I want us to consider is the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. So really, who were these guys? What were they about? Believe it or not, they were actually political advisors. You might say they were the men behind the man. If you were a king at that time, you wanted these sort of guys at your back. These men knew the seasons. They had an understanding. They were aware of how the lunar pool worked, you might say, because they followed the stars. They had an understanding of the seasons. Not only that, they were men that they were educated men. I would have suggested that for King Herod, he would have wanted these guys at his back. That's how impressive these men were. And I'm sensing that this was why Herod was interested. If these guys have heard there's a new king, there must be a new king. And if you're the king, how do you feel about this? You're probably a bit intimidated and you're probably a bit put off. And that's what we're seeing. Herod quite clearly struggled with the fact that there was a new king in town. What was the first thing that these men showed here? For me, it was their real desire to worship. They had come from the east, they had journeyed, they put time in, they had laid aside, they had sacrificed because they wanted to go and worship. To satisfy this desire, they acted, didn't they? They just didn't think, oh, there's a new king, oh, maybe at some point. They were on it. This was important to them. But for them, this was a spiritual need they had, I would suggest. This was a need that was strong. The whole idea of following a star and going somewhere with it, the whole sense that there's a new king being born. This isn't a physical need for these guys. I would suggest that these men pretty much had all their physical needs met. But just like a physical need, you have to exercise it. If you're hungry, you eat something. If you're tired, you sleep on the couch like I do. But for these men, they had a need. And they were willing to act upon it, and they were willing to do something about it. For you and I, sometimes I would suggest that we get our spiritual needs and our physical needs a wee bit muddled up. We don't always identify that it's a spiritual need that we have in our life. And sometimes we try fulfilling our spiritual needs and desires in physical ways. Sometimes you feel lonely, yeah. Sometimes you feel a wee bit empty, unappreciated, lacking in self-worth. Listen, we can all identify to it at some point in our lives, can't we? Doesn't matter what age you are. It's there in your world at different times. And so what do we do with that? What would the world tell us to do with that? Well, firstly, it's a spiritual need that we're displaying. Yet so often we think, well, I'll get a makeover. I've got a friend that's a dentist, and he was telling me that in this season of lockdown, people aren't going on holiday, so they're getting their teeth done. He says, it's incredible, he says, the number of people that are coming in just now say, just give me new teeth. What's that all about? Think about it. That's an inner need that they're trying to satisfy in an outward way, in a physical way. Sometimes we do it with a job. I'll change career. You know? People want this sense of identity, this sense of importance, sense of worth. We even sometimes think that it's going to be satisfied by the number of likes on our social media account. This will fill the void for me. Let me tell you, this will not satisfy. And God Himself points out throughout the Bible, what we are desiring is actually to worship Him. And often we don't even realize this. And equally important is only here can our desires be satisfied. What does God say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what the Bible tells us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So often we're looking to satisfy the voids in our life, which are spiritual, with physical answers. And it's never going to be the answer for you. I would suggest these wise men knew this. Instead of getting busy trying to meet these inner needs, let me encourage you to stop, save yourself a whole lot of time and effort, and instead, God, I need your presence to fulfill my need for connection. God, I need your comfort to fulfill my need for hope and for strength. God, I need your strength to fulfill my need for significance. God, I need you through connecting and worshiping. I want to see you meet those needs in me. Have you ever actually thought that something happens when you come to worship God? This is not just part of a good idea or to pad out the service. This is an essential part of who we are. God made us to worship Him. That's what we're made for. Every aspect of our lives should resonate worship to the God of heaven. The way you drive your car. Sorry, Lord, I did rush on the way down. The way we treat one another. The way we treat people we don't like. It should all resonate at some level. Do unto others as you'd want them to do unto you. That's what Jesus tells us. All this is an expression of our worship. And when we come on a Sunday and we stand before Him, something happens. Or does it? I've lost my place now. I definitely went off piste there. Let's move on. Another thing these wise men teach us about worship in verse 2 is in verse 2. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. They came with a genuine expectation. For them, it was fact. They pitched up. Where is he? Everybody else is going, oh, what are you talking about? We're here to worship him. We're here to worship the one, follow the star, who's been born the King of the Jews. They came expecting. How do you come to worship? Do you come expecting? These men expressed this throughout this whole thing. Why was that? Because they were true worshippers. They had realized that there was one that deserved worship. And they were there to do it. They were there to do business. They expected Jesus to show up. My own experience of this would be to say, it's true. But we need to exercise our faith. If we're going to step in expectantly to receive from Jesus in worship. Believing for Jesus to come, for these guys, this wasn't hard. No doubt, they expected them to show up. When they showed up, they expected to find Jesus and they expected to worship. Do we come on a Sunday like that? What's our attitude when we walk through the door? It certainly isn't our norm. It's easy to show up, find a seat, sing a song, and wait for what's next. I want to encourage you this year as you circle back to this time to raise your expectation when you come to worship God. Right now, this world out there is peddling fear. Let me tell you, God is in control. None of this is a surprise to God. We need to hold on to that. That the king that these men came to worship is still on the throne and always will be and always has been. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what this world tells us, God loves you and God knows. If you take nothing else away today, take that with you. I sense our attitude to worship and our expectation of what we will experience during it is very important. The wise men were expecting. What was Herod? Herod was resistant. And what were these other guys that he went and inquired of? They were pretty passive, weren't they? They were almost like indifferent about the whole thing. Oh, Bethlehem. What is our attitude when these men and women prepare to lead us into the presence of God? Do we come with an attitude of gratitude? Do we come having said, okay, that's my life, I'm laying it aside, Lord, I am here for you right now. And it doesn't always have to be an outward expression. Because God's looking in the heart. Not everybody's demonstrative. Not everybody finds it easy to raise their hands. But I'll tell you, everybody can worship God from here. I've come to realize that God can work a lot better with those who are expectant and those who are resistant than he can with those who are indifferent. Jesus one time said, I'd rather have you hot or cold. I want you to think about that for a minute. The God of heaven would sooner that you were hot or cold than indifferent. What a statement, God said. So let's chop that up. God is saying, yeah, let's be hot. Let's be honest, let's be committed, let's be focused, let's be the people that he's called us to be. See, if you can't be that, just be cold. Wow. That is huge. Rather than indifferent. Rather than a pale part of, rather than a pseudo kid on. That's really what he's coming at. These guys were pretty indifferent, I would suggest. These leaders that Herod had behind them. Can I encourage you this Christmas to come believing that you will meet with Jesus when you worship? Raise your expectation. But also, like the wise men, come not just to receive what's in it for me, but also to give. For them, part of worshiping the king was that they got to bring their gift. Do you come believing that you're here to give when you come to worship God? When you're quietly sitting in the car and you just, a worship song comes on or you pop the radio off and you give yourself to God? In Matthew 21, verse 11, the Bible says, then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gift of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. So what are we actually meant to bring to God and worship then? The one who made everything? Well, let me tell you, the best thing you can bring them is yourself. I remember spending some time in a community where people had very little. And we were in the church, and as part of their service and the way in which they did their service, the plate went round. And as the plate went round, people put in what they had. And see, if they didn't have anything, they put the plate down and they stood there. Wow. What a statement of intent that is. The best thing you can actually do this Christmas is stand in the plate. Because it doesn't matter how much stuff you've got, it doesn't matter how much talent or resource, which is great, yeah. What God's after is this, a willing heart and a contrite spirit. That's what God is looking for from each of us. If you want to come and worship, bring yourself. Bring your whole self. Leave what's busy behind, and when you come in, give yourself to God in worship. For you and I, giving God ourselves, not focusing on the distractions, expresses to God just how much we love him. Expresses to God just how much we care about worshiping him. These gifts that these guys brought to him. Gold was the first, wasn't it? Well, gold has always been a thing that people would give to a king. It's a very valuable thing. It expresses how much they value the king. For you and I would suggest it speaks about giving our best. In our busy lives, that is hard, to give God your best. I'm not going to kid you on. That's a choice you need to make every day. That's why reading in the morning is a good thing. That's why taking some time at the end of the day is a good thing. That's why including them in your decisions is a good thing. The best of our time, the best of our resource. They also gave them frankincense, which is a perfume, and it was the perfume that the Jewish priests would have used when sacrifice was being made, because it would have created a nice aroma in the midst of the not-so-nice aroma as people would have presented their offerings as a sacrifice for sin. Think about it. Jesus is our high priest, the Bible tells us. He's our link to God. It's through him we come to God. He is the mediator between God and man. He is the one that has made a way. And myrrh, a spice that was used to embalm a body. Probably a nod at what lay ahead for this child king that these men were here to bow before. That one day he would give his life and his body for others. I love the Bible, how it has all these woven truths, these little nods on what God is doing and what God is up to. You ever look back in your own life at this time of reflection and seen those little nods of where God's in control, where God has met a need, where God has brought direction, where God has fulfilled? Just the other week, I'm involved in a little bit of building work. That's what I do. I am not promoting myself to you. Trust me, I'm busy enough. But in the midst of that, I needed the services of somebody that did a very particular trade. I won't go into it too much, other than I was scrambling to find somebody. I was really, my back was to the wall, so I cried out. I said, God, you're going to have to help me with this. I am right against the wall in this. And I almost felt the Lord say to me, at last, Colin, you've come to me. So I had phoned, made an inquiry with somebody else about this particular trade, and he says, well, I'll send you through the names of two or three guys. So I'll just pop it in an email. So I'm driving down the road, and you're sitting on your phone, it's sitting up, it pings up, and I was like, oh, there's that email. Valley Road, come to the lights, you're going to sit there for 10 minutes. So hits the button, and the first name that came up was a young man that I knew. It was a young man that I'd grown up with his family. Our math son had been good friends with him. And about 6 months ago, I'd met him on a job, and we just got chatting, and he had an adult apprentice. And I said, who would have thought you would have been the gaffer? And he said to me, you did. He says, I only do this today because you told me I could do this. And I was like, when did I tell you could do this? And he could tell me the hour in the day and the conversation that I'd had with him. Is God interested in you? Is God in control? Does God know the beginning from the end? Does God know your every need? Does God sometimes meet you at your point of need and blow you away exceedingly abundantly, more than you could ever have hoped or dreamt? This is a God I've come to know, and it's in my everyday coming and going of life. Does he deserve worship? Does he deserve to be lifted? Does he deserve all of me? Of course he does. I know I'm talking to people who already know this, but I want to encourage you to reach out again, to go more again, to get back in the plate again. Because God has so much more for us. He has so much for us to do. Yes, in this time of peddled fear, we have the answer. Let me just pray for you, shall we? Father, we give you thanks for who you are. The God of heaven, the Creator God, the all-knowing God, the God who is at the beginning and will be there at the end, and in between it all as a God and a Father of love. And today, Father, we come to you and we thank you for who you are in our midst, for who you are in our lives, for what you have done for us, for what you are doing for us, and for what you're going to do for us. And today, Father, we come and we just give you praise in the midst of all the busyness that Christmas is about. We come and we acknowledge that you sent your Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, that journey might have started where you were reconciling man to yourself. And God, you gave your best in Jesus. And so today, Lord, we come and we thank you that we can come and we can worship. We can lift your name. We can learn from your word how others worshiped. And when those wise men came to Jesus, they bowed down and gave their gifts. Let this be our aim, Lord, when we come. In Jesus' name, amen.